everyone, welcome to Smart Boss Social Minds podcast. It is Thursday, the 26th of November, and this is episode 18, Starting a Cake Business with Hannah Edwards. Now, I speak with Hannah, who makes amazing, amazing cakes, and you can, you know, check those out on her Instagram. She is an artist more than anything. So yeah, I'll be talking with Hannah. She'll share her story, how she got started, the challenges she overcame, and yeah, everything about the success of her business. Enjoy. Hannah, how are you?
Good, thank you. I'm really good. How are you?
Amazing. I'm just, I was actually just going through your website and having a look at all your stuff. I'm just mesmerized by your creativity. So thank you so much for joining me on the live today. I came across your profile. I forgot what I was looking for. And yeah, I came across your profile and I just, it's like, oh, the Cake Illusionist. That name right away just kind of drew me in. And I was like, oh, this looks like a kind of lady I'd love to talk to. So I went through your profile and saw all the amazing cakes that you make. And I thought, there's no way, I have to reach out to her and try and get an interview, because you just, you know, it's so, so inspiring. And I hadn't even, you know, looked at your website or looked at your Facebook or anything, and which I've been doing over the last couple of days, and I'm even more shocked as, you know, your success and everything. So you guys are in for a treat. I'm going to try and get as much value out of Hannah, if she doesn't mind, as possible, and I'm going to try and pick her brain. So Hannah, first of all, obviously I've done my extensive research into, you know, everything that you do. But for anyone, you know, who's just joining the live, could you tell us a little bit about what you do and kind of how, what inspired you to get started, and a little bit about your journey leading up to when you decided to become not just a cake maker, but you could call yourself a cake master. So yeah, just give us kind of a brief overview.
Oh gosh, where do you start? Essentially, I make really cool cakes. I don't know how, without seeing them, it's quite complicated to sort of understand. So I do a lot of sculpted cakes. So they're kind of like massive dragons, or they're really, really hyperreal dogs. If you've ever seen a really hyperreal dog on the internet being cut up, I'm the person who makes them, which gets me into all sorts of hell, because people get quite offended when you stick a knife through a dog, and I get a lot of publicity and a lot of popularity, and I get a lot of kickback as well, and I get quite a lot of aggression coming my way, and I think it's all absolutely fabulous. Basically, whatever I do, I just create these huge emotional waves, which is so fun. Like having a job where you can just put your work down and you've instantly got this fight between half people going, my gosh, that's amazing, and half the people going, are you a serial killer? And the fun you get between the two. So that's what I do. That's what I've done for 7 years, and being a bit of a workaholic and a bit of a perfectionist, the combination is awful. It means that I tend to work harder, I work faster, I push myself further, and the results just get better and better. So when everyone says, if someone says, you know, oh, you're the best at it, I'm like, you see what I'm doing now, imagine what I'm going to do in 5 years' time. So I don't really believe there's a point where you are the best. There's just a point where you are now, and where you're going to be in 5 years' time is going to be like twice as good, three times as good. So that drives it on, and the cakes get more and more realistic, and the work gets crazier and crazier. And I've now got a reputation for everyone else will turn the work down, and I'll go, yeah, heck, I'll find a way. Normally have a complete panic and go and hide under a table afterwards, after I've taken it on. So if I take it on, say yes, and then worry about how on earth you're going to do it later. So that's where I started. And then that has just built itself a really good kind of like following, and people are interested. And then that has built itself a lot of people who want to learn it as well. So now I spend the vast amount of my time teaching other crazy people how to do work like mine. So that's where my business has now moved, and therefore I end up spending a huge amount of my time just almost coaching, but in a real kind of cake sort of way. So taking people who think they can't do it and proving to them, spend a bit of time with me, and they come out being able to produce amazing stuff Then they've got family amazed, they've got colleagues amazed, their clients come after them. And so I'm helping them build their businesses. And it's just this massive virtual circle of cake, fun, and family and amazingness, all built around these stupidly daft cakes. But it's so much bigger. It's just become this amazing kind of like, I don't know, machine. It's just self-perpetuating machine. But now I've got people creating them all over the place, and then they're getting work, and they're able to break out of their 9 to 5. So it's just increasing this kind of, world of creativity, which honestly we all need, because the world's just far too grey. It's far too boring. It's far too corporate. And yeah, I don't want it. I don't want to be part of it. And I don't want other people to be part of it either. So that's what I do. So create cool cakes, and I inspire other people to create cool cakes. And in all of that, I inspire generally women, but we do the whole empowerment thing, and if you believe it, you can get it, and that sort of thing. So that's me. That's what I do. And then I run around 3 very, very tiny children. There's 18 months is the little one, and then there's 7 9. So I'm a full-time stay-at-home mum, as well as apparently having a full-time business. And yeah, somehow it works.
I don't know how you manage to do all of that, right? I just, when I was looking at your cakes and kind of reading about everything, it took me back to a time when I remember I thought I was an artist, and I would draw these pictures, and I remember just like drawing one face and trying to get it to look like lifelike. It must have taken me about 3 days, and like literally it sapped out all of my energy. And I remember like my eyes being bloodshot after, because I was like going into detail. I don't know how you manage to be a full-time mum and have all these cakes out, have this amazing high-spirited energy, and such a huge following on social media, and I know that you're very active as well. To me, it's just like you have something inside you, which a lot of people that, entrepreneurs, business owners are trying to tap into. So this is another reason why I wanted to kind of get you on the live today to kind of talk about how, like, where does your creativity come from? Where do you think you get your energy from? Are you just kind of like just winging it, and like really you're tired, and you're just finding it really hard? Or are you this energetic person and you're just kind of flowing through it? Where do you get this creativity? Because I want to know, and I want some of it.
I love it.
You love
It's
it.
just as simple as that. I love it. I love being a mum. Caveat, caveat, they drive me crazy. I'm definitely not one of those mums who's like, oh, these are all amazing. I'm like, they kill me. They literally kill me. But I love being a mum. Wouldn't, I wanted to be a mum for such a long time. So, even in my worst days, I remember the days when I thought I was never going to be a mum. And I do remember it, and I come back to it, and I love my kids. But damn it, I love what I do. I love that I'm something more than a mum. I love that I've got a career that I love. I hated the last job I was in. I hated having to deal with corporate people. I hated having to deal with people who thought money was more important than art, than creativity. And I hated it all. And I flipping love what I do. And when you love what you do, you have a boundless energy, because the next day you'll wake up and you'll go, oh, I've had this really cool idea, I'm going to go and do this. Or I get some feedback from a student who met me and was almost in tears because they were so frightened that they were coming on my course, and they were so scared they were going to screw it up. And then at the end of the day, they achieved something amazing. And the message in my inbox the next day, which is, I just didn't think I could do this. And I've gone home, my family are amazed, and I put it on my social media, and it's gone completely viral, and everyone loves it. The energy that you get from proving to other people they're way better than they think they are, and the energy I get from, I get to play with cake all day long. I get to play with sugar all day long. You can't underestimate how much fun it is to be a giant child at the age of 38 and just mess about with sugar. And like last week, I was making a Christmas roast dinner, and I was making tiny little sprouts out of sugar. And I'm thinking, hey, next time I'm going to make those with Lindt chocolates because they'll be really cool. And I'm making a roast turkey that looks real. So like you could cut it, and people are just, their minds would be blown, because it's not a roast turkey, but you want to carve it like a roast turkey, even though it's actually a cake. Like, where is the bad in that? So I love being a mum. I flipping love my job, and you put the two together, and it's just like the drive is immense. But it is. The flip side is absolutely exhausting, because I'm like the worst boss in the world to myself. And it's ridiculous because I spent all that time trying to get away from horrible bosses and I've turned myself into one, but to myself. So I'm there going, I need to have an early night. And I'm also there going, no, you don't, because you want to get this filmed, you want to get that filmed, you're going to do this, you're going to do that, you're going to do this interview and that interview. And then I'm going, no, I need to relax. And then I'm also going, no, you need to get on with it because there's more to be done. And you could imagine how good you could be if you just powered through and trying to deal with this kind of like bad boss, tired employee, bad boss, tired employee thing that runs around my head is where I need to learn. And it's something I find really, really difficult because I just want to push on and push on and push on and push on. So, and that's the drive in it. But I think there's some, you know, slightly dodgy sides to that too. I try and work on it, but everyone says you're a workaholic, like it's a good thing. It's really not. In no way is being a workaholic a good thing. It's really hard to find a balance. So as I'm getting a little bit wiser technically and reading a few more books, I'm trying to kind of get on top of that a bit. But yeah, that's where the drive is. But essentially I just bloody love what I do, so hands down beats having a day job or any job, you know. It's just wicked. I get to-
so important. I mean, that there's people that just are looking for that, you know. They spend their life looking for something that they really love doing, and you found that. I mean, that's just so inspiring, and it shows that, you know, truly loving what you do is going to be the biggest driver of everything, right? I mean, just look at your success. So on that note, did you ever see how successful this could possibly be? Did you just look at it like, okay, I'm just going to be a cake maker because I enjoy it, I kind of fell into it, or did you kind of have a plan to think, oh, hang on a minute, this could do that, I could go here with it, and that? Did you ever expect any of this success? Because I mean, just looking at your website, your work has been featured in, let's just name some of them, Daily Express, the Sun newspaper, you've been on national television, the Huffington Post, Daily Mail, I mean, the list goes on, Sky News even. Did you ever expect that it would kind of get this big?
No, that was fun. That's generally because if you cut up anything that looks like a realistic animal, people go bat crazy. So I tend to say yes to most things, which again is something that's not necessarily a good thing to do. I've got a little bit better, but I'm quite good at walking through doors. I tend to sort of take opportunities, even if they frighten the life out of me, I'll still take it, because if anything, it teaches me to get over the fear, and I'm really into doing what you're most frightened of, and then you find very quickly the fear disappears. And that's what I teach other people to do, is if you're scared of it, do it. If you're not scared of it, it's really not a big enough gamble. So if you're scared of it, that is even more reason to just do it and see what's, because you don't know what's on the other side. There might be nothing on the other side, but there might be something absolutely amazing. So all of that kind of, you know, I went on This Morning, I did Ruth and Eamon's Dog, and I was
wow, so sick. Awesome. I didn't know that. That's so cool.
So I'm so sick. I just, you know, there's like 7 cameras pointed at you, and I was just like, I'm going to die. Like, what am I? And it's going 30, 29, 28, 27. I'm like, I need to escape. I can't escape because that would be running off set. You know, but I did it. And like, then for about a month after, I could command any money. And I mean, any money. I even got an email. I put on my website, like, what are your budget expectations, to try and get rid of the guys who want it all for nothing. I need to get rid of them. They just waste everybody's time. There's no point. So put, what are your budget expectations? And I actually got one about a week after the This Morning thing says, I have got no idea, but I know it's going to be seriously expensive. And I was just like, I have made it. I have arrived. I'm going to screenshot that and like print it out by wall. So like the kickback just from doing This Morning was crazy. And the reason why I got that is because Insider had sent me an email saying, can we come and do a 3-minute art video with you? And I was like, yep, bring it on. So we filmed for a day. I thought I'd get like 2 views, one of which would be my mum. Four happy days, and then suddenly I'm getting tagged in it, right, from everywhere, and I'm watching this thing, and I was like, oh, it's got 4,000 views. I was like, oh, that's seriously good, like, hubby, that's seriously good. 10 minutes later, oh, it's got 10,000 views. It got 100 million
no way.
Views.
Where was
right?
it?
It was mental.
Was it on it Facebook or online?
Yeah, so Insider put it on Facebook.
Yeah.
As a 3-minute art video, it got 100 million views.
Wow. The comments,
basically, it started this big fight between, as I said, the guys who thought it was art, the guys who thought it was me being a serial killer, and a few in between. and to This Morning, The Sun, The Daily Mail, The Telegraph, they all went crazy for it. And not because of the artwork, because the trolling based on people are losing their minds about the fact you're cutting up a cake.
Because it's controversial, yeah. Well, I see what you mean.
The vegans were on side because they were
I'm vegan, by the way, but I don't have a problem with you cutting into cake.
No, but they loved it because they're like, this shows how hypocritical the world is, that they're losing their mind over you cutting a cake whilst eating their burgers. And I was like, I know. And they sent me lots of messages saying, right, we want you to do a giant life-size cow and make it in red velvet and cut it so there's blood everywhere. And I'm like, yeah, guys, that's brilliant. But I have clients and I'm not sure I really want to get into a massive kind of like vigilante situation where I'm, you know, taking a chainsaw to a cow cake. And yeah.
So that was what you said.
That's what led to that. So, you know, going to just agreeing to do things that are sort of, you know, out of your space, out of your comfort zone, the places it can take you is absolutely amazing. So yeah, that worked really well. So I tend to walk through doors I probably shouldn't, and some of them are a bit dodgy and some of them are amazing. So
well, I totally, you know, think that it deserved all the views it's got. I just am mesmerized by your creativity. Can I ask you, actually, how many cakes, roughly, do you make a month?
Almost none. That's the crazy thing now. Almost none now. So I do very, very, very little client work. Okay. And if I do client work, you have to come at me with quite a lot of money. And I've got myself to the point where people come at me with quite a lot of money, then I might do it. But actually, unless they've got quite a lot of money, isn't worth my time. It's much better. So I've started. So since lockdown, I've had to change my whole business structure. So before that, I was teaching like real time in classes. And then since lockdown, I had 3 days of panic where I decided the whole world was ended and that my business was ended. And this massive thing I'd built was just over, just like that. And then I was like, nope, no, I've got to do something about this. I've worked too hard for it. So I took all of my classes online and I was there whilst everyone was there else doing their lockdown thing and sitting in their gardens. I was there all night filming all these online tutorials. So instead of locking down and not spending money, I did completely the opposite. I actually invested. So right at the time when everyone else was going, yeah, oh my God, I'm going to pull in and not spend anything, I spent a shed load of money on hosting sites, I spent a shed load of money on lights, I spent a shed load of money on cameras and stuff like that, and I moved my entire business form online. I was thinking I'd get sort of like, you know, 3 or 4 people buying it, like just to give it a go. What I hadn't clocked is how much of a pent-up audience I had internationally, and they'd always wanted to come on my classes, but they never could because they could never get to London or wherever they were. So like overnight, I made £1,000. And then the next night, I made £1,000. And like it was just, like, I didn't believe it. My digital guy, who I've worked with for, like, the last 8 years, didn't believe it. And we both sat there watching the emails going, okay. So I was like, Devon, who's my digital guy, was like, I thought my world had ended. And I've come to the conclusion that maybe it hadn't even started. So that completely consumed the last 6 months of my life is now, because whenever they finish a tutorial, they're straight in my inbox going, love this, Hannah, absolutely amazing. I've got people from New Zealand who've made the blooming cakes because they're 12 hours different. By the time I've got it the next day, they're set in my inbox going, my God, Hannah, I made this amazing cake. Look, and I've just followed your tutorial and here it is. It's brilliant. And then they're off. So now instead of having my 8 or 10 people going, yay, there's 100 of them, 200 of them, 300
of them. Wow.
So now you're
focusing on teaching people how to make cakes now.
Yeah. And until the pandemic stops, until the big guys come back with their events. I do like doing big PR events. I like doing, you know, massive dragons for 10-year-olds who clearly got way too much money. I love that side of it. But at the moment, there's nothing, obviously no one's having these big events. So, so I've just moved the business for now onto teaching online. And it will stay like that until, but I'm getting, there's another thread to it. I'm starting to get a lot of brands coming in. They want me to make their brand thing, whatever it is, in a cake form. And then film it, and they're going to put it on their social media. So nobody wants to eat the cake. They're just in the process and then the cutting of it. And I'm like, if you want it to go really well, I suggest you do an animal and you cut its head off. But, you know, just saying. So we do Paddington Bear and, like, you know, straight down the middle. People go wild.
Oh wow.
So yeah, so my business has completely changed, and I've just gone with it.
Well, I'm so happy that the pandemic was actually what it still is, a positive experience for you, because you hear stories where people have had to unfortunately close down their business, but then there's those people who took the opportunity, saw it as an opportunity like you did yourself, and kind of ran with it, right? So I'm so happy that it's been a positive experience for you, and you've
Mindset, real. That's all your mindset stuff, isn't it?
yeah.
You've got two mindsets. You've got fixed and you've got growth.
Yeah.
And obviously not without exception, but if you look at the restaurants and the things that have done really well, within a week they turn themselves into online deliveries. They got Uber involved. They made it. They checked. They completely shifted. I've got a lot of cake maker friends who shifted into treat boxes because everyone was so miserable during lockdown. They wanted to go online and order brownies. Like, we
Yeah.
just fed ourselves, didn't we? It was a disaster. It's awful. Everyone's now got to lose weight. So all the guys who had all their weddings cancelled and things like that, they all started doing treat boxes. They started doing afternoon teas. Like, the markup on afternoon teas is amazing. So you put a scone in and a bit of this and that there, and you sell it for 30 quid, and they couldn't keep up with demand. And you've got other people who've got, my business doesn't function. My business doesn't function. My business doesn't function. And they're stuck in this cycle of, this is an external problem. I can't do anything about it. So I'm going to just get really annoyed about this external problem rather than going, all right, that avenue isn't working. What other avenues have I got? So it's a mindset thing. I don't mean to say that liberally. There's some people who've got some really big challenges, but majoritively, if you can sort your mindset out, you can actually deal a lot better with whatever life throws at you, rather than just thinking that's the problem, it's out there and I can't do anything about it. It's what can you do to react to it, and where can you shift your mindset, shift your business. And that's what I did. And that, so this, I've seen a lot of people do it. If you look about the people who've made successes, it's not about their business, it's about how they are handling their business.
Yeah, and what they do with things that are thrown at them and how they deal with it. Wow, that's fantastic advice. And that obviously shows you are where you are at because of that mindset. So, for anyone listening, we've talked about the cakes and kind of a little bit about what you do. You're obviously amazing and multi-talented. But like, how did you get into cake making? Like, is it something you always wanted to do? Were you always good at kind of sculpting and art? Or like, what is like, how did you get into it?
Okay, so I was a professional photographer my whole life. I went to uni and did photography. I got a job out of uni. I then moved down south. I'd gone up north to play and then came back down, and I got a job as a photographer, and I did that for 10 years. And then it went very sour. And at the time, I probably hate the company for making me redundant, but in reality, I was probably the worst black sheep going. I think now, and back then, I'm completely unemployable. You would never want to employ me because I can't play by the rules. I don't like being told what to do. And I'm going to sit and do my creative thing, whether you tell me I can or not. So at the time, I was very bitter that they'd made me redundant, and they were clearly evil. And I still sort of think they're evil, but I understand that I wasn't exactly like, employee of the month. I was bitter. So they made me redundant whilst I was on maternity leave, which was lovely of them. So then I had a 2-year-old and a 5-month-old. That in itself would have been slightly traumatic, but at the same time, I was going through the process of a divorce as well, because he had issues that I couldn't help him with anymore after I was with him from I was 16. So after 6 years, 16 years of trying, I gave up and said, you've got to sort your own issues out. I can't help you anymore. So then I ended up being made redundant and a single mum of a 2-year-old and a 5-month-old, and it was like, bleep, what do I do now? And I've been doing these cakes on the side, but like just real hobby baking, and I didn't know what to do. And I distinctly remember sitting down and applying for a load of care work that I could do whilst the boys were at nursery, like just in a care home or community care work, anything, because I was so frightened that there was no money coming at all. I had no other half. I was on my own. What was I going to do? And it was a couple of friends of mine who said, look, you do these cakes, why don't you see where it goes? What, you won't miss the job when you don't have it. He said, if you go and get yourself a job, you will get stuck, and then you won't ever want to give it up because you're worried that you giving up a perfectly paying job and going off, out on your own has got to be the hardest thing anyone does. They said, don't get trapped in a job again. Give it a go. They said, just give it 6 months and see what happens.
So
So I was like, all right.
how long ago was this?
7 years.
7 years ago. Oh, wow. And are you still in touch with that person?
Well, my friends. I thought about my ex. Yeah, okay, people come and go, bless them. You go through periods of friendships, like really tight friendships with people.
The person who spurred you on, are you still in touch with them? Because they must have saw something in you, right? And they must have given you that belief.
Yeah, it's just give it a shot. But I'm there, like, totally. My whole life is like that now. But at the time, I don't know if you have kids or anything.
Yeah, I do.
The idea of it got to the point, where's the next meal coming from?
Okay.
How do I put food on the table? So to go at that point and go, actually, I'm not going to go into this job. I'm going to try and make it work. But I did it. And then people ask me why I made the success I did. You want to try not having enough food for your family and see how much of a driver that is. There is nothing more primeval and fundamental than I have to put food on the table. So I'd spend all day looking after the kids because they're tiny, and then I'd work all night. So I'd do my cakes all night. And the cake thing worked around the kids because, yeah, I got no sleep, but that's why I'm so used to it now. But I was able to, I started with my like one client and I made them an absolutely phenomenal cake, way above and beyond. And then the next client, a phenomenal cake, way above and beyond. And they just come back, and not only do they come back, they bring their friends. And then slowly over time, you can start sorting your pricing out. And if they say no, that's fine. You don't need them. Drop them off. Aim higher, aim higher, aim higher. Because the top end, if I do a £1,000 cake for someone, that's one person. That's one client to deal with. If I have to do like 100 Peppa Pig cakes for £100, which would I rather do? You know, so
yeah.
So there's, you know, there's ways and means of bringing your prices up. But the ethos was the same, was over deliver every single time. And if you over deliver, you'll keep that client and you'll gain all their friends. And you really don't need that many. You do not need that many families or client groups.
I totally agree with that. Yeah, because word of mouth is so powerful. And then, you know, people will just say, oh, you know, they will refer you to someone else. And I honestly think that is one. Yeah, I totally agree with you there. When you're starting off, if you're like working for free, or even, you know, like by the time you split up your time of how many hours you're doing. But if, as you said, just keep putting in the work and really, you know, put your all into it. It gives you that foundation, and, you know, you get like your first clients, and they'll, as you said, always stay with you. So I totally agree with that. So what would you say to somebody who's thinking about, you know, starting their own business? Perhaps they're in a 9-to-5 or something, and they're like, you know, I really just feel like I want to do something on the side, but they're a little bit apprehensive. What would you say to kind of motivate them and spur them on to get started?
I think it's all in or not in. It's all in or not in. You will get nowhere by dabbling around. Every time you split your focus, you half your success. So every time you split your focus, you half your success. So if you're half in your 9-to-5 and you're half in your day job, half in your side job, neither will be a success. Whereas if you jump out that boat, scare the life out of yourself, have no money coming in, I guarantee the effort you will put into your own company will outstrip anything that you ever did for your 9-to-5, only you'll love it. And once you love it, you're living. Like, you only get, what, 80 years? That's it. What are you going to do? What, at the end of those 80 years, what are you going to be happy that you spend your whole life living in fear whilst doing your 9-to-5 and getting annoyed that boss is just doing your head in and not letting you do the creative thing? Like, but you have to be all in or not in. This side thing doesn't, I just think you end up just not really achieving on either side. I think it's much better.
Yeah, I say, there's an analogy. You either have a few small heaps or you have a large mountain. You know, if you kind of dabble in all this different stuff, or you have a large mountain. So yeah, I totally agree with you.
I see it way too many times that people get into business and then they split it and they go, oh, I'm going to start this business. And I was like, but what about that business?
I can totally identify that.
You'll do half. So you just achieve half of them. Like, if you get to the point where your business is running really well and you can start bringing in other people and their skills can then look at other businesses, and then you work as a team to do it, but you will not give your 100%. You can't. You're only one human. So you've got 100% of effort every time you put a new, you know, bit side project on. You're half in it, and you're also confusing the heck out of your clients as well, who don't know whether you're here, there, or everywhere. Then you've got, what, two social media channels, three, two websites,
I think I need you as my business mentor.
Just being the very best you can be at one thing, be amazing at it, shine, blow the world apart, and then yeah, it's cool.
Well, you clearly are that. So,
I'm a good girl. You see me when I've got three tiny kids hanging off my shoulder.
Oh no, I'm sure you're fine. You're the same. What is the strangest cake that somebody has ever asked you to make, and did you make it?
How dodgy can we go here? What? How do you normally? You send your cake pink and fluffy.
I don't think there's any young kids listening, but just try and keep it. You know. Oh wow.
This one happened quite recently,
and I was so you didn't make it.
No, I won't make them. I actually won't make them. I did want, actually, but that was because it was for a big charity event for the Vagina Monologues, and I threatened her on pain of death if she ever put them anywhere, I'd kill her. But she was a previous client, and I just, yeah, it's fine. But normally, this chap, I don't know whether he's still with his girlfriend, because I tell you what, if I got this cake, I'd dump him. He wanted a cake of his girlfriend.
Oh, okay, we won't go there,
No, but if I just say that she had a champagne bottle sticking somewhere.
Oh, wow.
That's what he wanted. He wanted a cake for his girlfriend with a champagne appendage from somewhere. There we go.
Well, did you feel offended? Did you feel offended when he asked you to make that cake? Did you feel like it was kind of offensive to your capability as an artist, or you actually just thought it was a bit funny and no, whatever, you're not having it?
I think it's incredibly hard to offend me. I think it's you've got to have a strong enough sense of personality that you know who you are, and it really doesn't matter what other people say or what other people think. Being offended by something implies that you're allowing them to get to you. Mm-hmm. Like, I could be offended by emails telling me that, you know, I'm a serial killer, or that I promote animal abuse because young children will see this dog's being cut up and will go home and cut their pets up.
Wow.
So, yeah, I think if you're a strong enough character, I think being offended by other people is a really tricky situation. It really says more about you than it does about them. They're going to do what they do, and as long as you're true to yourself, there's really no one can get to you. So no, I didn't. I just laughed and laughed and laughed. I think I've just saved your girlfriend from dumping you just by saying no. Like, what? Where? Like, when there's in jokes and there's what?
Yeah.
And I get quite a lot of, can you make my baby? And I'm like, no, because you won't want to put a knife through its head. So, yeah, I get a lot of that. Can you make my one-year-old as a hyper-real cake? I'm just like, you're crazy.
So you refuse to make human cakes, right? Yeah. I understand. That could be a bit creepy, actually. It might be fun to make, but it would be a bit creepy cutting it up for sure.
A baby shower. Can you imagine a baby shower cake? And you take it, get it out, and it's the baby, and you're like, which end do you want to start cutting it? No.
Yeah, totally. Oh my God. So why do you think people are so drawn to what you do? Because, you know, obviously there's a gazillion cake makers. There's not too many cake masters. But, you know, what makes you different, and why do you think people just love to watch what you do and follow your journey?
I think I'm really human. So I think the work, if you imagine the work and you imagine who's behind it, you don't necessarily get me. You think that they might be someone with an ego, or someone who's got an attitude who thinks they're the best, or people tend to, when they approach me, or, you know, they expect to, like, I've had people, like, when I go to the shows and stuff, they want to do autographs, and I was like, can we just be mates? And they're like, oh, I'm your biggest fan. I was like, I don't do fans. I can't deal with them. I don't know what they're for. Can we just be mates? Can we, you know? And I think it's probably the fact that I am a mum. I run all the trials and tribulations of that. You know, I've got, when I film live, my kids always bust in on them. It's if anything I've got, it's just that human side, trying to get through life, trying to find fulfillment, trying to do things right by my kids and all that kind of thing. So I think it's probably that my work looks quite elite, and then in reality, it's just me floating around behind it. And I'm open and accepting to anybody. And I also believe that everyone can do amazing things. I don't sit in this
room
and say, I'm amazing and you're all down there. I'm like, no, come on, girl. Look, I'll help you. And I do, I help a lot of people, like, without it's not, I'm not driven by the money. So it's not like you give me money and I'll tell you how to do that. It's an email saying, I'm really struggling, my kid's birthday, what the heck do I do? And I'll spend a couple of hours like helping them through it, like saying, all right, move this bit, do that, with nothing, expecting absolutely nothing from it, just knowing that their kid's going to be amazed the next day. So I think it's that the human side of it runs really deep with me. I'm much more about inspiring other people and being true to me and them being true to them, and that's how it works. So I think that's probably why people like me and what I do, because I don't pretend to be something I'm not.
I totally, agree that authenticity is like the number one driver of success, right? And that's why people are so, drawn to you. So obviously you've had all this success, your business is amazing, you're super, super talented. I'm sure there's been a lot of challenges when building your business. Do you want to identify some of those and perhaps kind of elaborate and kind of let us know what you learned by going through them?
Okay. The biggest one is learning to value yourself. It's really blooming hard. It's really, really hard. So we price based on our confidence. We don't price based on what we're worth. We don't price based on the time. We price basically whether we're having a good day or a bad day. So if you've had 3 clients in your inbox that day, you're going, hey, I'm rocking, it's fine, you can pay me several thousand pounds or you can go away. If we haven't had anyone email us for a couple of days, we go, please, I need the work, I want to do it for £3.50, is that okay? So learning to get out of that and realizing that your confidence level has nothing to do with the price of what you're selling is probably the biggest thing. So learning to value yourself. It's really, really, really hard having the confidence to not care whether you get the work or not. When you get to the point that you don't care whether they say yes or no, then you'll start pricing right. And that's taken me years. And I still screw it up. And my hubby still yells at me because I wanted to do something so much that I underpriced it just because I wanted it. And then you're like, oh, but it'll get me more likes, or it'll get me more work, or it'll get me, it won't.
Is it a mindset shift, or is it the fact that you just get orders over and over again and then you just slowly start realizing your worth, or do you just have to have a complete mindset shift?
I think it's multifaceted. I think you have to realize there's a value to doing nothing. So I don't know if this is just cake makers or other industries as well, but people think that they'd rather earn a little bit than nothing at all. But actually, you forget that the earning nothing at all isn't earning nothing at all. It's sitting on the sofa with your family. It's going out for a walk. It's having time to sleep. Those things, the doing nothing things, are the things that keep you alive, keep you well, and keep your relationship safe.
Absolutely.
So we put everything into our businesses for any cost, but they can cost us our relationships. They can cost us our family. So getting the idea that earning nothing has a value. And in order for you to get me away from that value, you have to pay me enough to make it work. You have to pay me enough that I miss cinema, TV with the kids, or you have to pay me enough that I'm going to work all night rather than sleep. And it's understanding that it just takes a long time, but just over time, you just get the idea that actually I'm worth something. Actually, what my work is worth something. And if you're not going to pay it, I'm not going to do it. And you'll find that people come back and they start paying and they value you because you value yourself.
I just saw a comment here. This lady saved me from lockdown through the love of cake. That's so sweet. And that's from obviously somebody who taught how to make cake as well.
Yeah, so all through lockdown on Sunday evenings, I did a Sunday evening live. I'd love to get them going again. Life is so busy now because I've got all my other classes going on, but I need to get them back going. So every Sunday night, I used to jump on a live. Now, I was terrified of lives. You need to understand that the lives was my biggest fear. So as lockdown came on, I faced my biggest fear. And now, look, I'm chatting to you like it's nothing. You should have seen me 6 months ago. Awful.
I think everyone's pretty much like that when they get started doing lives. I was like that myself.
But yeah. You can either stay frightened of it forever, or you can walk through it. So that's what I did. So yeah, we had a lot of fun. I will get them going again, Julie, I promise. I don't know how to find the time.
Oh.
But yeah, value yourself. That's my biggest lesson. I did far too many cakes for no money at all, thinking they'd get me more clients, more PR, more. They don't. They do you nothing but grind you into the floor. So valuing yourself, charging properly, and then you will slowly build up a group of people who think your work is amazing and they will pay you any money.
I once heard someone say, let the other person decide what they want to pay you, and don't like put a value on yourself. Like, you know, value yourself, put a price out there, but don't make a decision for the other person. No. Because usually it's a self-esteem issue, isn't it? And we always devalue ourselves, and especially as women as well.
Yeah, the amount of times that you put a number down, I put a number down thinking they'll go away. They're back in my inbox within 3 minutes saying yes. And you're thinking, damn, I could have charged them twice as much and they would have said yes. So, you know.
Well, that's a great confidence booster. But I mean, but you know, when you look at your cakes, it's literally like a piece of art. It is a sculpture. And I think, you know, it depends on how people are looking at it, because I would totally look at it like it's a piece of art. There's an artist behind it putting in the work. But then some people might look at it and think, oh, it's just a cake. You know what I mean? So I think it's, but then you don't want those clients anyway. You want the clients that really appreciate you for what you do as well.
They were never my clients to begin with. And yeah. If not everyone is your client, there we go. That's another lesson. Not everyone is your client. When you start out in this game, you chase everybody. And when you get a bit further along, you realize that 90% of them aren't your client, but you don't need 90%. You need that 10% who are willing to sign the checks off. And then you get the creative projects.
Yeah, that's it.
But then you have to use them. It's scary, you know? The first time someone gives you £1,000 for a cake, honestly, you dance around the living room for about 3 minutes and then you spend the next 6 months terrified. So, but as soon as you land it, like the euphoria is in.
Do you mean like terrified because you got paid for that and you have to kind of make sure it's at that standard? I get that. Yeah. I
feel like you can land a big order. It's petrifying. So as the money goes up, the pressure and the fear level goes up as well. £1,500 wedding cake, you screw that up.
But do you think like you get some kind of adrenaline rush from that, from the fear?
Like only after you've delivered them.
Once it's out of the way.
There's a thing in cake world that you drive to the venue like your nan, and you drive back from the venue like Eaton Centre, because you break every speed limit going on the way back to the venue when you've not got, because you drive there like, oh my god, I'm going.
I can imagine.
And then you drive back, you're like,
I did it. Okay, let's just say, because obviously you make a lot of dogs, I know you make all different ones, but let's say a standard dog. Just one dog. How long does it take to make a cake like that? A long time.
I can't tell you.
Really? I bet it's not as long as I think it is. I can imagine it's like over a week, or you're not going to tell me.
Would you eat a cake that was over a week old?
See, I have no idea about cakes, obviously. I just assumed it being like a sugar cover, it might last a little while. No, I have no idea about cakes, I'm guessing.
Well, 3 days, 3 days start to finish, because then the client wants to keep it for 3 days, don't they? So you can't give it to a client and say, by the way, you've got to eat all 40 slices in the next 24 hours. So I put it on 3 days to make it, and then they get 3 days to eat it. And if they eat it beyond that, then it's up to them.
Is that 3 days like really going for it, or like you could just easily make it in 3 days? Because it would take me probably about 2 weeks.
I can teach a dog in 8 hours. So I can teach a complete beginner to make a really good dog in 8 hours.
Wow, that is incredible. And like, I suggest everyone just go to your page and have a look at the detail that goes into the cakes. There's even like emotion in the eyes, and that is what stuns me when I first saw pictures of your cake.
It's brilliant.
Amazing. So amazing. Beautiful artist. I've kept you for a really long time. I just want to ask you, what is the best thing about being an entrepreneur and getting to live, you know, freely and doing what you want? What is the best thing that you love about, you know, everything and all of your success up to this point?
All of it.
All of it.
My commute is 13 steps long. That's the bottom of the stairs. If a school calls me and they want me to go and watch some Christmas pantomime, I don't have to ask anybody. If I want to take time off, which I never do, you see, I'm a bad boss, I can do. If I want to work from midnight till 6 a.m. and then sleep all day, can't do that either. But, you know, technically, I could. All the money that I bring in is mine. From the second that I get a random email saying I'm thinking about a cake to the time they put down that money is mine. I made it, I created it, I did it from scratch. I've owned the entire story. Then when I land their cake, and even the staff all come flocking to see it. So it's not just the guests, all the staff go mental over them. And you just see, they're not, they don't even see me. They just, they're so enthralled by what they're looking at. And I can just stand there and watch them. And it's all mine. The ownership you get of it, it's just, it's my baby. It's what I do. And then from the teaching side, just watching other people's fires just start up. And then just going, right, you did that. And they go, no, you did it. I was like, I did nothing. It's all yours. And then watching them grow and their pride in what they do. And it's just starting other people. And they're, you know, they've got their own issues and they're struggling to bring money in, or they've just been made redundant. It's just like, well, here we go. Here's your next path. Off you go. Let's go. And they're like, are you coming with me? I'm like, yeah, I'm coming with you. So, you know, the amount of students I've got who have been rolling with me for like 6 years now, and they've now got phenomenal cake businesses, and they're bringing in money, and they're not kind of like kept by their husbands anymore. They're the main income earners, and they'll still come back and show me what they're doing. So like, it's that, I know it's corny, but it's, we all rise. When everyone rises, we all rise. So you rise by raising others. By raising others, we all rise. It's just
apparently
that.
You're an amazing teacher, says Phoebe Licious Cakes. So have you always had that natural ability to teach people?
I've always taught. I've still, even when I was in photography, I taught retouching. So I taught professional retouching. I just like helping other people grow. It's a real kind of like, that can get you in a lot of trouble, actually. That's probably why my previous relationship was a bit of a disaster. Because I'm drawn to people who need that bit of help. And I kind of like, I'll offer them a platform, which is fine. But you can get yourself really torn apart by, if you put your hand under the wrong person, you can get really badly. So it's kind of, but it's part of my personality trait, is to just kind of try and lift people out, lift people up and show them what they can be. But I'm trying to learn that you can't help everybody, but I still do it because I am who I am, and you've got to try, haven't you? And if you get, you know, a firebomb back in your face, then you just have to like try it with someone else.
That's so lovely and so, so inspiring. I love that. So, we've talked about everything here. Let me see if I've missed anything out, because I did note some stuff down. Yes, so you are quite active on social media. What? Just one last question, I promise. What is the best social media platform for you? Which one have you enjoyed using the most?
I'm one of the old school Facebookers. So I've been on Facebook for like 7 years before it was really, really big. So my Facebook following is really quite deep now. But that, what I mean by that is, someone will post and I'll know, I've got quite a good memory for people. So someone will post and I'll know which kids are theirs, and I'll know which airbrush they bought 3 years ago and showed me. And so I will take the effort to say like, oh, how are you getting on? Or, you know, are you still using this airbrush? Or, and you know, it's building relationships, which again is really corny. I honestly sound like a
No, it's not corny at all. I mean, I'm obviously into marketing and stuff like that, and honestly, like connecting with your community and going deep into your community.
With them, so you know who they are, and if they're talking to you, you know what they said to you last time. Or like, I know the guys, I've got people in their 80s who live in America, and every so often she just puts up a thing going, I love your work, I wish you'd make me and Bernie a cake. So when I see her now, I say like, how's Bernie doing? How's he, you know, what are you guys up to? They had a greyhound that died X number of years ago. So I talked to them about the greyhound thing, even though it's months since they've mentioned it, just meeting people. So like Julie, who's just chatted on here, she's got loads of ragdolls. So I had a ragdoll, so we have a chat about ragdoll. So having that depth of connection with people.
Absolutely.
Facebook is where I really hang out. Instagram, I have good times and bad times with it. I'm getting there. There's some people I know. But I'm much newer at it. I've only been going for Instagram for a couple of years now. Whereas Facebook is.
Are you on Twitter?
Can't use it. Don't understand it. And each time I try, I cry. There's no pictures.
You should totally get on Twitter. You need to get on Twitter, 100%.
Every so often I try, and then I can't even reply to anybody because I can't even work out how to do it. I'm like, I need to talk to you. I've lost you. Where have you gone?
I'm sure with all your abilities, you can work it out. And what about TikTok? Because I heard you mention something about TikTok on, I think, one of your podcasts. Episodes.
I have recorded, unsurprisingly, lots of pictures of dogs being cut up. I've got a lovely video lady now, Try and only do what you can do. So try and bring in external skills to help you. Don't try and learn it all. I've got a lovely video lady, and she has cut together a TikTok thing for me. She did that about 2 months ago. It still sat on my computer. That tells you how much I've used TikTok.
I'm sure it's quite a place for you as well, TikTok.
I just don't need it. I'm terrible. What more do I need? Do I need any more?
Maybe no, not at all. I just think with your, you know, art skills, a lot of, you know, that there are lots of cake makers, but I haven't seen anyone like you on there. So I think you should definitely at least try it out. Well, thank you so much. For
aim of what? Aim of what? Achieving? What am I achieving? Come on, tell me. You can teach me now. It goes really viral. And what do I get out of it?
I just think, well, awareness, first of all, of, you know, your amazing art and, you know, people that want to learn from you could, you know, get more students for your courses and things like that. But I just think on TikTok your art would come out really well. There's, you know, a lot of artists and cake makers and things like that on TikTok. I think it'll be a great platform for you.
Thanks. The next one. I'll behave and do it, honestly. I'm really lazy. You see, you guys think I work really hard. I really don't.
You don't come across lazy at all, and I don't think you're lazy. All those cakes that you make and all those appearances that you do. I'm super inspired by everything you do, Hannah. You're amazing.
Thank
you. Your art is amazing. Obviously, you know, you've got a big, big audience. They love you, judging from all the comments here. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm going to continue to follow you. I, you know, recommend everyone just kind of go to your website, check out what you're doing. You're amazing, and I wish you the greatest success, and thank you so much. And I hope you don't mind, but I'm going to make this a podcast episode as well, because I feel like you have given us so much value today. And yeah, thank you so much.
Anytime. Take it easy.
You too. Take care, Hannah. Thank you. Bye.